I will continue listening to the role play counseling session again between Pastor and Mrs. Johnson. As you will recall, at this point, we are a little ways into interview number 5 between Mrs. Johnson and Pastor. She had been talking about how she was feeling better, how she was getting out, and Pastor's feelings about that. And she had just said that she agreed to Pastor's authority to explain this whole new life of hers to her husband. She had said that told her husband that it was the pastor's idea that she do this. And right at that point, we broke in. So let's pick it up there again and listen once again to Mrs. Johnson and the pastor.
What do you think that stuff is okay now? I don't know if you think
it's going to be right now.
Are you able to talk, sometimes we talk about kind of communicate or letting him know how you're feeling. I think this is a step by the way, and we're speaking to something to other things, see what he says on this study. And are you able to let him know how you're feeling? Is the communication any better than all in expression to us?
I don't think it is a whole lot. I guess maybe you can tell by the way I am, but I look at things going out my series. It is making me feel better, maybe it's making it easier for him than I just did last night. But we haven't really talked about how I feel about it.
You can tell by the way you ask, but you want to talk about that a bit? How you are.
Well, I don't know, maybe I'm more patient with the kids, you know, and so they're not getting the care as quickly as they usually do. I don't know, I don't have any really case. I'm very much attention to the way I feel about it. Yeah, to me, I'm really
interested. That's kind of interesting to me. I hear you talking about the kids and a little bit of how you're going out, and I don't hear you really talking about the kids.
I don't know, that's what I could say about it. Yeah, he's not too interested in nothing. Or anything, but I don't know, maybe the words are going to
that's where you feel, that's where you feel about it.
Yeah, he doesn't pay too much attention to other people, what's going on, you know, with other people around him. Like, it doesn't seem important to him how I feel, and how the kids feel, and he's insensitive to
people. You know, some kind of feelings about you, and I guess I'm really interested to feel like you've got some kind of feeling changing. Can you talk about that a little bit about, just think about a moment about how you're feeling about doing and feeling and what your kind of reaction is to you?
It's almost left here. Yeah. I'm not feeling very much for him anymore.
No feeling at all, huh?
Impatient because you doesn't seem to be able to see what's going on around him.
But yeah, I guess I've got a feeling that's gone through that, but no feeling at all. I guess I can see it too, but think about that a minute. If you think about Joe and about his reaction to you, I think maybe you're just trying to drop your back.
So there has to be more to the person than that, I guess. Maybe I didn't know that thing.
I think this interesting what's going on here. This is that on the other side of the paper, you're talking about resistance that's programmed. Would you say that this is resistance? She's having a very hard time talking about something. I think she's trying the best way she knows how to follow her pastor where she thinks she could go in this conversation. But it's difficult. She says she is not aware of a lot of feeling about energy. She's a bit of a boy down there. She feels angry. Isn't this a kind of resistance, but it's probably the hardest kind of world to deal with.
I think it's important to say that maybe there are two kinds of resistance. That is, sometimes people fence with you this way deliberately. They know what they're doing. I don't think Mrs. Thompson does. She is, first of all, not aware, as you said, of some of her feelings. And secondly, she has a very hard time putting a label on some of those feelings. And the whole process of what's going on is the counselor helping her label and teaching her to recognize that she does have some emotions. For instance, earlier in the segment, the counselor said, how do you act around your husband? What do you do differently? In other words, and he's pushing her to delineate kind of her specific behaviors. And then he moves from that to pushing her about how do you feel? I'm not sure he says that there's an absence of feeling. I find that a little hard to believe. And he keeps pushing her to say, and bit by bit, sometimes he's going to come out.
There's a change in her voice. Mm-hmm. This particular question, she's uptight again.
All the old tension comes back. And that should signal that you're turned around here. Hmm?
You get the feeling, that she feels like a little girl sort of talking to daddy again. At least I took that from the tension in her voice and slight digging that's going on, and from a reluctance to get the words out. She feels pushed. And the counselor has to be real careful not to push too hard in a situation like this. But not to let up either.
Mm-hmm. And to hear every word she said. She picked up on a word that she said. What was the word?
True.
Yes. She said it once. She almost cloud of wonder, I think. And
she said something like, oh, I guess maybe you could tell Joe crude.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe crude is the word, but none of the long time.
Mm-hmm. The pause is too, I just think. And the effect of when you say something, this guy that he's not even at this point.
I think another thing that we can underline is that there's been 2 or 3 minutes of talking here, and the counselor has made 2 statements on it. One was picking up on that word crude, and he raised it as a question, crude. And the other was when she said, don't have much feeling for him, and he said, no feeling at all. And those 2 remarks precipitated another comment or two from Mrs. Johnson. The comments came slowly, but those two remarks were consistent.
The nice guy was talking with her.
Right.
A following and right at the point that I perhaps most of us have talked about, this is where he causes her to go by picking up that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get back to the first.
Do you feel that maybe it's not good for you to have half of you?
Yeah.
You feel that say that you sometimes when you put the two up on the put on the rocket to me, if you were gonna say to him just really how you're feeling, really can you tell me what you say to me? Maybe you need another thing, something with this word true. Like when I say the two, I kind of care, which I kind of know, I don't know if you're being true, so can you talk about that again?
Hmm. I don't know, I just thought he was interested in, you know, he's really not interested in very much of anything at that time, so it's very telling himself. You know, if he's got a beer and a baseball game and TV, everything's fine. Had a good restroom and what do you think of a good restroom? Yeah. The only other thing he's interested in is the bedroom.
I think that he was saying that he feels really not interested in you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
That would be you. And you know how you feel if you, is that the thing that it just feel when you sit down like that, you kind of feel like you're on the
person? Yeah, if you're living with somebody who doesn't look at you as a person, you begin to believe.
Very likely the source of her discovery as, he said it good, the pastor said it was true, that makes you feel like you're not perfect and you're not important. What did that say?
Oh, yeah, Steve, this is one of the last comments before the prayer. You live with somebody long enough who doesn't look at you like a person, and pretty soon you begin to believe it.
That kind of finality. And that's the way it is, and that's the way it's always going to be. And that's where she is right there. I think it would be difficult for her to dread that much more about Joe at that point. She's been coming up with an empty bucket.
Well, it's getting harder and harder.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're getting close to the bad part, necessarily. It might just mean that that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. I suppose it could say something that she actually said. She really doesn't have any kind of a feeling except a kind of a loathing for this guy. At this point.
At this point, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This would not be the time for a counselor to switch gears and say, well, what are some of the good things about the husband? Because what we're trying to do is help her get in touch with her own feelings at this time about him. And I think, yeah, it is kind of a loathing, a revulsion. And it's not just a revulsion for him, it's rubbed off on him. She says, and I don't think too much of myself either.
Mm-hmm.
I've begun to believe that I'm a nobody. You've got to keep that in mind, where her self-esteem is. It's a pretty empty bucket.
The moon pauses, and he presses her to say what she's thinking. And the moon knows what that is. He suggests to something very kind of super trivial. But yes.
She gives him one little clue that there is something on her mind, though, and that his guess is right. His educated guess. He said, I think you've got something on your mind. And she said, oh, no, not really. And it's the not really that ought to make us suspicious. That she's on the brink, perhaps, of saying something more important, but she can't do it right then.
Good listening, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good listening. Yeah, fine. Let's get back to the break.
I guess it's still like it's something other than great to do.
I guess I was just, yeah, you got it now. Sometimes people get back from that, but they didn't have to. Sometimes
they have no right to come. Oh, that is good. That is good, yeah. When you talk
about that a bit. You start thinking about that, and you really can't help it. You just but you really have no right to do something about it.
I think that's good.
Because that seems to be on my mind a lot.
you tell me a little more about it?
Yeah. Really, what she said so far is in no way intimidating me. And usually intimidating me, she hadn't really said what she's thinking. She said, I'm thinking something that has to do with you, Pastor, and I think about it too much. But to label what it is the next step, and she hasn't done that yet, and before you can be with it, you really have to be with it.
Yeah, in fact, she's not dealing with the content of what she's thinking about yet. She's dealing with her emotions about it. Because all her statements so far have been, I've got some bad thoughts in my head. And Pastor says, oh. And she says, well, you know, thoughts that, you know, people have and shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, I'm not sure I understand that. And it's interesting to listen to just the pastor's statements, because what he's doing is leading her to look at whether her thoughts are bad or not.
Mm-hmm.
He's helping her see that they're really human thoughts no matter what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole process is in the bag of acceptance,
mm-hmm.
without judging.
This is kind of again something that there is only something found for her. She hasn't really talked to anybody about this much like and that can be recent occurrence. A lot of inhibition around it.
You almost get the feeling she's thinking this through as she talks.
Yeah.
As she goes along. And that's why it's important to let her go faster, slower, she wants to, too.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of trouble with this thought idea. I think the general term is to say, I've got to cover this up. I've somehow got to imagine it don't exist, rather than to say such a thing. I don't think there's a common
mm-hmm.
problem. In fact, I think she really shows it, you know. I ought not even to have these thoughts, and her preference is price down.
Yeah. Right. And it's so tricky in a situation like this, because a counselor can so easily cut off the thought and the conversation. For instance, a counselor could have given some what I would call thoughtful assurance here, and might have made a statement like, oh, you know, everybody has bad thoughts once in a while. And that would have perhaps trapped whatever was going on inside of her. And it would not come out. So he puts the hole all the way. He keeps coming back to you. What do you think? What are you feeling? What can you share with me?
She was talking earlier about the counselor being shock-proof. I think she's got a few clues here, right back to where we fell off the cliff, that she better get a shock-proof suit on, because there's probably one coming. People are nice this way sometimes, I think. They have something that's really going to tip our boat over, or they think it is. They let us know. They send up a few flags first. And that's what she's doing. So, shall we find out what her plan is?
Well, she says,
well,
I think about how you listen to me and my talent, and you seem interested in me as a person. Good about them. And so, go ahead and just come to talk about me.
Do you hear the kind of thoughts that you think are bad thoughts that you really are? Maybe if you can talk a little more about that, it's good now. You know, I'm I don't at the moment see anything in terms of the register or owners, and I think it's important that you can get in touch with records that can get that out in the open.
That's sounds like a teacher again, doesn't it? Giving her a new lecture about the emotions and emotional living. We don't need to be concerned right now about the rightness or wrongness of it. Let's look at it and then not decide if it's right or wrong, but see what we're going to do with it. I think what you're dealing with as people's culturally induced stereotypes thoughts about emotional living. And once again, Travis Thompson is putting in a corrective for that once in a while. And saying, oh, but that's not the way human beings go.
Sometimes the corrective comes in the form of a mini lecture. I was just thinking that in this case, it's also coming in the pauses. For instance, she drops her bomb, what she thinks is a bomb that she's been having some back-to-back catastrophes. And then there's a long silence. And it's a rather comfortable silence. And the pastor says, okay, I think that's entirely understandable. There's permission for the feeling. In the very fact that the pastor didn't say, oh my goodness, or didn't laugh, or didn't make fun of it.
His pause is communicating, is that all it is? Is there something else? Is it still part of it? Because if that's all it is, I'm not around.
Right.
Let's pick it up this time.
You got the feeling that the kind of thoughts you have about me are kind of thoughts that you really aren't happy you have.
Yeah.
A long pause after she says it again. The pastor is letting her live with it and feel her emotion, and he's standing right there next to her and saying you're still part of the human community, even though you have an understanding of that. I think that's a good example of handling something that was difficult for this lady to handle. Picking it up and writing it for the long enough. Another temptation that pastors sometimes have is to press for a great many details when it comes to new arrivals. I don't think that's particularly helpful in this instance. You could say, how often do you think about her? How much are you preoccupied? Do you think about me? Go into a great many details, ask about dreams, and avoid that. Let her tell it the way it looks to her, let her tell it and feel comfortable with it. She may have more to say about that next time, and it's still there, and discuss with her again.
One is it may not happen if the counselor tells it at this very thought and then reacts with all of these kinds of questions, hoping that somehow the answer has
but maybe the emotion will go away. Okay, we'll be listening to Mrs. Johnson and her pastor, the well-played counseling situation, and we've been coming on emotional aspects of this counseling. That concludes hearing Mrs. Johnson and her pastor. The segment we're going to listen to now is interview number 5. We've heard interview 1 and now we're going to hear interview 5. And in the interim here, Mrs. Johnson and her pastor have made a phone contract for 8 sessions total for this pastor conference. Here again to discuss this with you is Mrs. Kessler from understanding, so you say this one, Pastor Albert, and Dr. Bonamassa. Let's pick up with Mrs. Johnson and her pastor.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson. Come on in.
Hello, Kathy.
Have a seat. Saw Billy in there. He was playing ball out in the playground and talking to him. He got tied up in his chair.
Yeah, he was tied up just as a little sister. Go up a little bit, but he was picking out a few things. He really didn't hit him with anything. He was just pushing him around a bit. He cut his breath. And then he got out.
I get a real kick out of watching him. He's really alive now. He pays for all his work and he's not going to take
him. And he's all dead.
Well, this is, he's been at this for a few times and, coming along pretty good. How are you feeling about it?
I think I'm feeling all day. It's good to have seen you and talking. But, you're making me go about once a week for your daddy. That's really not getting out of the house. Mm-hmm. You say you can look a little bit different.
Already worried to a couple of things, aren't we? One is that pastor's realization that each time Mrs. Johnson comes in with some apprehension and some uneasiness. And so he picks up with her. And it's interesting to see how quickly she gets put at ease now as compared to this time around. And also, as we had noticed at the end of the first session, she gave her homework to do. And what she's doing now is she's really becoming a well-trained counselor. She's kind of reporting on how the homework gets done. And homework involves her getting active with a girlfriend. And in this kind of situation, I think activity helps getting doing something that is just for me, maybe even enjoyable and something I hadn't been doing for a while. This is helpful to somebody like Mrs. Johnson. So she sounds better too, doesn't she? She sounds more happy than she did before. What do you think?
I think she sounds much happier and much more relaxed, and I think the counselor has some more objective evidence besides Mrs. Johnson's words that things are going better, and that is that the relationship between her children has changed. She made the comment early in this segment that something's different with the little sister. She's starting to grow up, maybe. And what the counselor knows is that something has happened so that the children are living a more equal kind of relationship, perhaps. It's not one bullying and one little one who takes it all the time. They're beginning to act more like normal brothers and sisters.
She seemed to feel no longer that she was half when she first came in, this hopelessness of the situation was going on and on and on. Rather, she didn't fear the fact that she's gone on. She seems to find some kind of relief from what she had experienced before.
One of the places she goes is to go down to see a pastor, too. Right. I mean, that's step one. That's kind of fundamental to improving her mood. That was the first move she made.
And actually, she's getting out closer to each other than she is.
That's right. Okay, let's pick it up and see what goes from here.
But gives you some sort of feeling of relaxation somewhere out of the box, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I
think
you get dressed up
there. That's real good. I'm real glad to hear that. I how this goes. You get in the same situation and then feel so tied down and you get feelings about having to be there at the house every minute and these things kind of just pile on you because you can't fit them anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
What is he doing?
Well, they go out to lunch and go shopping, you know. Sometimes we go to the movies. They go to the Christian home sometimes. Be on my own for a second, I wish I never felt on my own.
That's good. That's good. And you as we took away for the sitting, you feel better when you're coming back and things are better with good?
No, that's particularly good. Yeah, I'm willing to go out in the afternoon and everybody looks good. I come home in the afternoon, I kind of have to work harder than the rest of the week, so, because I'm affecting some things again.
Do you feel okay about doing this? Or do you have to work with it? Or do you look forward to it? Do you feel good to yourself about having made the decision to let it go out?
Yeah, I know. At first, I thought maybe I shouldn't do this. I really belong to her all the time. I guess it's preschool too. But, oh yeah, I've done it a few times. I really do look forward to it. You know, I wouldn't miss it for anything.
I think it's interesting in this segment that Mrs. Johnson is really saying to us, gee, I'm aware of myself as a person, as just me. For the first time in many, many years, there's something more to me than mother, something more to me than wife. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the business of valuing people because they're human beings and because they're individuals. And every time the counselor says, that's good, I'm glad you're doing that, I'm glad you're feeling that way, he is reinforcing his positive regard for her as a woman and as a person of value in her own right.
She really left us in on some of her earlier feelings and thoughts about herself as a person. With this sudden new realization that she can do something with her job. She's really going to replace the person. And just this much intervention has altered that for her. Another thing I think is interesting to look at and to be aware of is how the working relationship, the working counseling relationship between the counselors and her has been expanded. They talk to one another at this point as collaborators. People working together on a problem, her. And we'll probably be coming on that again from time to time in this show. She came in, it was her problem, and she let him in on it, and now it's their problem. Still hers, but they are collaborating on it.
What comes through in the counselor's tone of voice and in the manner in which he asks questions, and one gets the feeling that he knows this woman pretty well in this limited area of the problem that she's been willing to share with him.
Some of the things we were saying earlier about non-judgmental, she was able to share with him the misgivings she had about, for example, going out with the veteran. And his attitude was encouraging and non-judgmental.
I think that was interesting. She was very judgmental about herself. She made the statement, for a long time I thought I shouldn't want to get out of the house, which is a pretty common attitude, I think, among many mothers at least. And it's kind of a myth. Why shouldn't she want to get out of the house? Yeah, shouldn't she want to get away from the children once in a while? Just when he is not challenging that statement, the counselor gives her permission to be herself.
It's an offhand thought, but where do people get that idea? That mothers ought always stay home with the children. Is that the kind you can maybe challenge from the pulpit on Mother's Day?
I think it is. I think that in mothers have it, I think I know that pastors have it, and whether maybe it's tied up with what we think it takes to be successful. And whether we know better or not, we have maybe it's a kind of protection rather than to take up to some of these other things. We grin and bear this and go along with it, even though when you stop and look at it, you know that's not the way parents do it. Parents look back and risk themselves to death over the problems of the children. And times when they really ought not to be involved in that way.
Somebody should have said to Mrs. Johnson 10 years ago when she was a teenager, when you get to be a mother, you don't have to pay attention to 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somewhere that ought to reach through to people, but they really ought to be like Mrs. Johnson, I think, for whom it doesn't.
Not only for women, but for men too, and I think it's related to expectations. Society has expectations of mothers, and it has expectations of fathers, to be responsible, to stick at a job, to make money, to climb the ladder of success, however you define that. And somehow we spend so much time concentrating on the expectations that we forget about the person underneath who has some needs just to be himself or herself sometimes.
Maybe it's also the feeling that nobody can really do this like I can do it. I can't really turn my responsibility over to someone else. And when in fact, it might just be the thing that they need.
It's another feeling. Let's pick it up and see what it goes.
And I think I come home happier and looking forward to it the next week. Helps me out as well.
You can go off to me and enjoy yourself without feeling that you really are exactly where you're still.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I think it's a good thing. I think you're stepping in the right direction. The good old faithful mother contact that you can get can really tie you up in knots. And I'm glad to hear that this is helpful. You've got to have somewhere off like that, somewhere that moves there.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's generally been good for you? How do you, feel about everything else at home?
Oh, well, I don't think Joe's changed a lot, and I don't think I've changed a whole lot. I just seem to be easy. Things seem to be easier to take. I think I feel a little bit better about myself. The kids, I'm still well on. But they don't bother me as much as they did, I guess.
Here, Mrs. Johnson gives us an interesting sample of something that can really blow a counselor's confidence. He has seen some changes for the better, and they're fairly big changes in relation to his children. One says, "How's everything else going?" And she says, "Oh, yeah, it really isn't so much better. Things haven't changed so much." And if we as teachers don't have some confidence that things are changing and that they are going to be better, and if we aren't able to document that for ourselves at least, a statement like this can really make us feel very insecure, feel as if we aren't helping at all.
The reason the counselor asked that question needs to be pretty clear to the counselor. If he's asking that question, how are other things? With the hope of getting the pat on the head, he's in trouble. If he's asking a question to find out where she is, so they can continue this collaboration they have going on, then you can see what's going on. It's difficult to put that all out for yourself. it could be a kind of manipulative thing that Tantra would do. And what he's saying, actually, is, please let me make me feel better about myself. That's trouble if that happens. And he needs to think a little bit more about his motivation. So if he's really asking for factual feedback on how things are, he's ready to have a day of, you know, pretty much the same. What they're doing right at this point is evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they didn't stop and say, let's evaluate.
And she's still strangely silent about Joe. I mean, she brings it in that it's the kids and everything else, but Joe is not a part of the easy conversation.
Yeah, this is beginning to emerge as the conspicuous silence.
Yeah.
It's the conspicuous silence that is left out. Her feelings about and her relationship with her husband.
This would give the counselor a clue that this is the tender area.
Hmm? Mm-hmm.
It's not the boy girl that she's really concerned about. It's her relationship with Joe.
And I think we need to underline that this is the fifth session, and that it's quite likely that it can take this long before the real problem that is really eating away emerges.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't to say that everything that's gone before has been with us. It certainly hasn't, as we've seen by the tape. But it's like peeling the layers off the onion, that we finally get to the kernel of what is bothering this man. 5 weeks ago, she couldn't tell you.
5 weeks ago, she didn't know.
Exactly.
Nobody knew.
Right.
We think our counselor knew, had some clues at the end of interview one, probably, because she's seen ladies like this before. But that they discover it together is the process that it's our counselor.
And it's crucial for the counselor not to have said it at the end of interview one. It's crucial for him to have kept that little piece of information. Maybe Joe is part of the problem. Kept it to himself. Because it's important for Mrs. Johnson to be able to say it herself.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's really bothering me.
He might have said it, I wonder what it would have meant to her had he neatly summed up her problem at the end of session one and said something like this, well, Mrs. Johnson, I've listened to you now for an hour and see for you your problem, show your husband and your relationship with him. He might have said that. I don't think it would have been damaging particularly, but I don't think she would have done it. Hmm?
Her response might have been something like, well, what would you do if you were my shoes?
Mm.
And that gets you into the whole game of who's got the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Would a statement like that possibly give her the feeling that she has overemphasized the competitive recovery? You make a statement like this that early in the game and say, well, this is where the problem is, where she's seeing this as a whole nightmare of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then would begin to feel, maybe there's something wrong with me, at least we're not in the same wavelength. You're seeing through this and I'm not seeing it.
She'd be wondering, why didn't I see this myself? Why did you have to tell me?
Right.
And I got transformed. And got wrong about myself. Hmm?
I think there's another aspect too, and that is that people are not so threatened in talking about problems with their children. Somehow that seems to be more normal in our society or more average or something. Everybody has difficulties in raising children occasionally. But to admit quickly that there are difficulties in a marriage, that's much more serious somehow. And it hits much more at our feelings about ourselves and our self-respect and our feelings of worth as an individual.
That's interesting, right? I think they are. That's what you were talking about before. The marriage thing is touching, isn't it? It is somehow all right for most folks to talk about times in the family.
It's the same kind of thing that we had before, it's just some other ideas. Only this is, example, it is even more. Just the idea that the Christian marriage and you didn't have to ever ask it.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something that I'm maybe it's not too much to say, and yet it has a place, and that is what would be even worse at a temptation is to sum this up and then give two or three neat answers that keep the power. Now, this is what you can do to cure this. I don't know the passage that fell into that trap. I can see the possibility, and I could see that as being a really wrong direction to go. At the end of the first or second session, you say, now this is the way I see this problem. This is what you do, Mr. Johnson, to solve this problem. Go home and do it.
The diamonds
are gone. Well, if Mr. Johnson tries it and it doesn't work, then you have an angry person, angry at you, angry at the church, perhaps. Angry with God.
And what would be missing in that present text? I think valuing her as a person would be missing pretty much, wouldn't it?
Yes, right. And she's not going to have it until she finds this for herself. He is herself. She does not have the power to do this. She could go through the motions, but she's not going to be able to solve this relationship with Joe. Even with the children, and put them over the seaside.
I think that's so important because what we're saying is no person can possibly have answers for another person. What we can do is help the other person find his own answers, but we can't give them.
Mm-hmm.
And here perhaps we get into the classic conflict for pastors and poor counselors. We like to think we do have some answers.
A simple way to think about counseling and to hear some counseling as a way of valuing another person. And you value the other person first off just by being there for what, 6 or 8 hours paying attention to, listening to. And that kind of valuing is there. But it communicates very strongly. And this isn't just anybody who's doing this valuing, it's a rather special person, my pastor. It's somebody who highly trained and has an important place in the community, and his opinion is respected. And this is the one now who will take precious time and say what I need. That makes me feel better about it. That's part of what has to happen.
I wonder at the same time, Paul, if the pastor gives the prisoner the impression, let's just be a man that I clearly give you a week about how many counseling cases you have. But a lady like this could come in and feel, he's gone through this kind of thing before. This problem of mine is probably not very important to him. While it's really important to her, though it's possible for a pastor to give the impression, I've got so many things on my mind, but the things you have to talk about are really pretty minor. And this would be a bad situation for the pastor's situation, because this is important. It's important to the pastor. Mrs. Johnson wants him to feel this is no small matter, although she may feel a little uneasy about that.
It's not trivial.
That's right.
It's important to her, and that's what should be important to her.
Here again is where the contract helps, that is set for a certain time and a certain length of time, and that belongs to Mrs. Johnson, and nothing interferes. Miss phone doesn't come through to your office in those hours, and you don't talk about other people in the congregation in those hours. And you really make the effort to concentrate on her and her problem.
I would guess that somebody like Mrs. Johnson, when you initially say 8 hours, that part of her reaction is, my goodness, what are we going to do for it? That's all good, and you mean just you and I will just talk about just me for 8 hours? There's no much to say. But I can also imagine all kind of glows on that, you know, and the part in that that he thinks to be 8 hours with me.
Right, isn't it a sad comment in our society and our culture that people could feel, gee, I don't have enough to say about myself to fill up 8 hours. I'm not worth enough as a human being to be able to be myself in that time and talk about myself. And just making that time available is, as you say, a reinforcement of our valuing them, or of some human beings valuing them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just get back to the first one.
What
do you feel like of you taking it away? Well, I was kind of worried about not even making it to him, you know, getting a baby show and things are not even the greatest. Then late in the afternoon, and I was kind of afraid of making it to him. And so I was told him it was your idea, and he said I had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I don't
think he would have gone for
it at all. I think that was just my idea. Pick up two things here. One is her fear of her husband, which may or may not be unrealistic. We don't know that yet. But the thing that I wanted to emphasize was her comment, so I told him it was your idea. Which, on the one hand, sounds like talking back. But on the other hand, it's a legitimate view of a counselor's authority here. And if not used indiscreetly, it's helpful as a first step. Hopefully, Mrs. Jackson can get to the point where she'll be able to say, I want to do this, I need to do this. It will be helpful for our whole family. But as a first step, I think it's very appropriate to be able to say to her husband, pastor suggested that I do this. What kind of conflict does that present for a pastor?
I think the pastor has to realize that this is a place they have to be supported. And I could see some cases where Joe would react, and maybe even let that reaction be known, you know, something like you have to be making this type of film. I think it would be important to how the pastor reacts to it, to get defensive about it. What you could do is to get defensive about something like this, but to have them come back. Unless you see this thing as you need to see it, in a supportive way. I don't know exactly how I would answer it if he asked me to, but I can see the question. The Joe would come back and say, how come you did this? At least if not now, not later. And the pastor could go to see this as part of the whole process. And in his support and meet that objectively with Joe too, rather than to get defensive and say, you know, I'm caught in the trap here that I didn't make.
Okay, that's about all the time we have for this study. We've been listening to a role play counseling session between Mrs. Johnson and the pastor, and making comments about it.